Right, let us pray. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, Lord. May we hear your voice. Please speak to our hearts. Amen.
Good morning. So for those of you who don't know us, we are the Wheelers. I am Scott. This is Nikki. Over here we have Isaac, Levi, and Abigail. And they have assured us that they're going to sit up there like beautiful, well-behaved children. We'll see. So we are proud to have been worshiping and serving in this church for the last 20 years. Thank you. Haven't heard that. It's nice. So the key message that we want you to take away today is we are all called in different ways to be part of the body of Christ. To do this, we're going to work through three different areas. The first is that we're going to revisit 1 Corinthians, and in particular, how you can listen to the Spirit. Then we're going to talk about how we've been discerning our role in the body of Christ. And then we're going to share more with you about where we feel called to go and what we feel called to do. So going back to Corinthians, starting at verse 4. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but they all come from the same Spirit. There are different ways to serve the same Lord, and we can each do different things. Yet the same God works in all of us and helps us in everything we do. But it is the Spirit who does all this and decides which gifts to give each of us. It is the Spirit who decides. But then, how do we know? How do we know what the Spirit has decided? How do we know what God and God's Spirit is saying to us? I'm going to run you through a few of the ways in which God has spoken to us, but I suppose I just wanted to highlight that He is God Almighty. He is creator of the universe. So this is by far not a comprehensive list, and He can speak to us in many different ways. The first one is a still small voice, 1 Kings 19:12. So praying, and not the kind of prayer that most of us are probably used to. We're probably used to going to God and just going full tech, just speak in our hearts, speak in our minds. It's the kind of still praying. It's more of the listening. This is key, but also pretty difficult in our day and age when there's so many distractions. I'm reading a book at the moment by a Christian author, Ash Barker. It's called Finding Life. He talks about discernment often starts with a stirring. Listen to the stirring of your heart, because it's often the Spirit. I wanted to share a couple of examples of that stirring with you. The first one involved Nikki, who was my girlfriend at the time. We were at the New Wine Festival, which I'm sure many of you are familiar with. And we were worshiping. We were worshiping to a song called Hosanna, sung by Brooke Fraser. And there's a particular line in that which caused an incredible stirring within Nikki. The line was, "Break my heart for what breaks yours." I looked over to my beautiful girlfriend at the time, and it wasn't pretty. She was blubbering and sobbing, and her mascara was running, and I was just like, what is going on? After that, I eventually, you know, after debriefing with Nikki and talking through that with her, once she kind of wiped away all the snot, what happened in that spot is that she said God broke her heart for His people, particularly in Tanzania. So that was one of many parts of discernment, which actually led to Nikki and I going to Tanzania in 2008, sent by this church. Another example of that stirring was when, this is a wee while ago, Nikki and I were at the youth group here, and we went on a Youth for Christ trip to Myanmar. Really exciting, looking forward to the adventure, but some stuff happened which we didn't expect. When we arrived, the plane landed in Myanmar. I stepped out of the plane in this foreign land, foreign environment, and got hit really hard by this overwhelming sense of peace, but also the feeling of you are at home, which was absolutely bizarre in this foreign land that we'd never been to. I just felt God saying, you're at home. And what I discerned that to be is that you're at home in these situations. So I was called to the situation. Nikki felt called to Tanzania, and then that's where we ended up. So there's many other ways that God can speak to you, through nature, words of knowledge, dreams, pictures. Like I said, he is God Almighty. There's many ways he can speak to you, but that's just a few ways in which he has spoken to me and us as a family. The next part is testing if it is from God, testing it if it is his spirit. All too often we hear of people doing things in the name of God, and we look at it and we're like, wow, you know, like there's some weird and wacky things that are done in the name of God. So I feel it is super important to test it. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is inspired by God. If what you hear you think is from God, does it align with scripture? Does Jesus show us that example? Does he teach it? Does he ask his disciples to do something similar? Get into his word and see if it aligns with scripture. Scripture is also a way when you meditate and you pray scripture to discern his word too, to discern his will. Being part of a community of believers, Romans 1:12, this is another way that you can test the spirit. We have such an amazing community here of believers. So if you feel it is from God, talk to fellow believers. Get them to pray with you. Get them to help discern this with you as well. A key question you can ask yourself is it for the betterment of his kingdom, for the betterment of his people? There are many ways to test, but the more you hear God's voice, the easier it is to recognize.
I thought it was really cool that last weekend when Bishop Ellie was here for the presentation of Ian for installation as our vicar, that she read from Ephesians 4, which talks more about this, our roles in the body of Christ. The next slide. So Ephesians 4, starting from 11, Christ chose us to be apostles, prophets, missionaries, pastors, and teachers, so that his people would learn to serve and his body would grow strong. Christ holds it together and makes all of its parts work perfectly as it grows and becomes strong because of love. I was reminded the other day why it is so awesome that we are all called to different parts of the body of Christ. I work with a podiatrist, and we were coming up to the weekend. She was so excited about the weekend, and I was like, yeah, so are we all, what are you up to? She said, I have a 3-day corn conference. Yeah. You guys know what corns are? The little wart things under your feet. Yeah. She was so excited. And I was like, thank goodness, thank you, God, that we don't all have to be excited about corns. That can be her thing, and we all have our own thing. So just a reminder that we actually, all professionally, but within the body of Christ, we all have different passions and different giftings, and the Spirit stirs up different things in us for a reason, so we don't all have to love corns. Remember that one? So we are all called in different ways to be part of the body of Christ. Next slide, thank you. So what we want to challenge you today, what we want to leave you with is this. What do you feel that the Spirit is saying to you about what gifts God has chosen to give you to serve his people, to love his people, and to show them his kingdom? Are you asking? Are you listening? And are you testing what the Spirit is saying to you? Have you discussed this with anyone in your church community? And are you being held account to pushing further into that and exploring what your role is, what the Spirit is leading you to, or what he has led you into? So, our call. Next slide. As Scott shared, we've been discerning for quite a while now, in quiet times and in times of community, what journey God wants to take us on as a family. We frequently thank God that he is ahead of us, and that we know that following his plan and his path for our lives may not be the easiest, but it is the best, and it is the most fulfilling for our lives. And we feel that God has equipped us to be chosen as missionaries to serve his people overseas for this next season of our lives. Through this discernment process, we were led to NZCMS, the New Zealand Church Missionary Society, who have now formally accepted us as mission partners after a lot of scrutiny and testing, lot of questions, but they've approved us. We're not crazy, guys. So they've connected us and looked at our skills, connected us with Kapuna in Papua New Guinea. The next slide's a little bit of a sort of backstory on NZCMS. So the Church Missionary Society was the first to share the gospel in Aotearoa and sent missionaries out here first to our land. By 1892, the gospel had been spread so widely in New Zealand that it was time to start sending people from New Zealand. And so NZCMS was born to get Kiwis into mission all around the world. So CMS has been working in and from our country for a very long time. So we want to share a bit more about Kapuna and Papua New Guinea, where we're going. Kapuna is a training hospital in the swamp meets jungle area of the Gulf province of central southern Papua New Guinea. The hospital was built in 1949 with money from an anonymous donor to the London Missionary Society and was originally run by a couple of doctors from New Zealand, Peter and Lynn Calvert. They made their home in Kapuna, had four children there, and although Peter passed away in 1982, Lynn still lives there, aged 98. And their eldest child, Valerie, is the doctor who's running the hospital now. So a cool history of New Zealand missionaries and family in Kapuna. Kapuna is the only hospital within paddling distance, there are no roads anywhere, for about 15,000 PNG locals scattered across that region, only accessible by river, and they often have to travel by canoe or dinghy, just dug up tree trunks, for hours or days to get to the health services. It's a five-warded hospital staffed by two doctors and seven nurses. I read on the Kapuna website that the equivalent ratio of doctors, if it was in the UK, to service that number of people would be 93. So the two doctors in Kapuna would be 93 in the UK. I assume similar in New Zealand. The hospital itself, built in 1949, has had very little work done to it and is in very poor condition, but in the last few years has had a Australian government grant to completely rebuild the hospital. So we visited Kapuna in April last year as part of that practical testing of his call to see what God was saying to us when we literally stepped out of the boat in faith into the swamp. And we've put together a little video of photos and videos we took when we were there, which shows you our journey over land, over sea, and then beautiful river journey into Kapuna itself. You'll see if you can spot me on the boat. And once in Kapuna, you'll see these beautiful, well-maintained gardens, our mosquito net for the night, and then the school that the kids will go to, and a look at that dilapidated hospital. So, yeah, let's see. This is Kapuna. This is the school. hospital. Maternity ward.
So the plan is for us to go and serve in this community for 3 years. We're going to start by learning the language and some of the local customs. We feel it's really important to connect with the locals in that way, and also we feel that it will help us be most effective in the work that we're doing. So some of the roles that we're being brought over for is I'll start working as a projects officer, initially to help the project manager finish off the last part of the rebuild. And then, which is something that I'm really passionate about, is WASH, water, sanitization, and hygiene. So they want me to get a WASH project up and running, starting by applying to the Australian government for some more funding, which is looking really good because after visiting the hospital, the people who are funding the rebuild said, wow, you guys manage this in such an incredible way. We want to give you more money for more projects. So that's super cool. Nikki and I will also work as part of the JESSE team, which is gender equality and social inclusion. So along with sanitization and hygiene issues, there's also a lot of issues around the treatment of women. So we're really looking forward to being part of that too. Nikki will also be starting Kapuna's very first physiotherapy department with one of the physio who will be arriving here shortly too. So that's super cool. Once we're there, we're also going to discern and basically go where we feel called to go and do what we feel called to do. The one thing that we're also really excited about doing is bringing some of the 3DM model of discipleship to Kapuna. So we're looking forward to getting stuck into that too.
So as you can see, there are lots of exciting projects that are already underway and will be starting in Kapuna. But living there is not going to be easy. Currently, there's only power to the staff houses for 4 hours every day, from 6 till 10 p.m. And because it's a swamp, the soil quality is very poor, so not much grows there. We've been told there's 7 types of fruit, most of which are local ones, so we really hope that we like them. And sago is a staple for the locals there, but it's a less refined version than the sago that we have. So if anyone's got some really nice sago recipes that involve no other ingredients, please let me know. So apparently that's one of the biggest challenges for the Westerners there, is just that lack of food that we're used to. And there's a barge that comes in every 4 to 6 weeks with a few non-perishables, so we can get rice and flour, spam and canned tuna. So another one of the challenges is bugs. There are a lot of bugs, lots and lots and lots of big bugs. And malaria levels are very high in the region, so we'll have to navigate through that as well. Fortunately, we are at a hospital, so if anyone gets sick, then we can get our blood screened pretty quickly. Are we being booted off? Right, good. Okay, good. Nearly there. So despite these challenges, Scott and I still feel really that we have been equipped to live there and with our family for the next season. But we need your support. We need our community of fellow believers behind us. Our prayer support is going to be hugely important for all the stuff that we're navigating. And I don't doubt that there'll be health issues that we'll need your prayer for at some point. But we ask for your prayer and prayer for protection for our family. Emotional support and also financial support. We have been given gifts from God and the strength from God. He's blessed us with that. But we need to pull on the strength from the rest of the body of Christ to help mobilize us. 1 Corinthians says that the parts of the body were not designed to work independently. If our bodies were only an eye, we could not hear a thing. If we were only an ear, we could not smell a thing. God has put all the parts of the body together in the way that he knows works best. So we are all called in different ways to be part of the body of Christ. As you go out today, there's a little table at the back which our kids will be manning, hopefully with more success than this quiet situation we had at the front here. Thank you, Isaac, holding up the fort. So if you would please like to pray for us while we're away, CMS have made these handy little bookmarks so you can remember us when you're reading your books at night, and pray for us. And then there's also these little support cards. So if you are able to financially support us, grab one of these. There's a little blurb on what we're doing and then the account stuff on there. If you fill it out, we've got a letterbox that you can post it in at the back, or you can take it away, give it back to us later, or send it to NZCMS directly. We're planning on sending email updates and taking videos of what we're up to in Kapuna and the work that God's doing there. So there's a clipboard if you want to add your email address, then I'll put you on our email list and we can update you and send prayer requests through, but let you know what we're getting up to and we'll be in touch. Now, because we're going to be away for 3 years, budgeting for that period of time is quite tricky. NZCMS have advised that if you are able to pledge to support us financially, a monthly pledge is the most effective way for us to budget over a three-year period, so that we not only can get there, but that we can come home again. I think my parents would support, please. And Amanda, yep. That if you can help us come back as well, that would be nice. But even if you are able to give just a really small amount, it all does add up and make a big difference to helping this happen. So thank you.
Let's finish with prayer. Father, thank you that we are the one body of Christ, but that you call us to serve in different ways. Help us to hear your voice. Reveal the will you have for our lives. Speak to us in a renewed way, and also affirm when we are following your will. Thank you for the blessing of this community. Amen.
Well, thank you, Scott and Nikki, for sharing the journey that you've been on so far and this amazing journey you're embarking upon. I personally think you're very brave, but what we see here are two people who are totally surrendered to God. And this is what the song is about that we're going to be singing about now, The Stand. It's about coming to a place where you are surrendered. And in that, when you come to that place, that's where God can really start to use you in his plans and in his purposes. So let's stand, everyone. Eternity in your hand, you spoke the earth into motion, my soul now to stand. You stood before my failure and carried the cross. My shame, my sin weighed upon your shoulders, my soul now to stand. So what can I say? What can I do? So what can I say? What can I do? Bit off of this heart again, completely to
you. Take a seat, everyone. We're going to, as we draw to the towards the end of our service, we're just going to have a time of just intercessory prayer together. So when I say the words, Lord, in your mercy, you respond with, hear our prayer. That might go up on the screen as well, if we've got that. So let's bow our heads. Lord, we lift up our world to you. We think of the coronavirus outbreak and the rising death toll that's happening globally. We pray for your miraculous intervention and a slowing of its spreading rate. We also pray for our climate as global weather patterns continue to worsen. We pray for a changing and softening of the hearts of our global leaders, all the way down to our own communities and our own personal decision making. May we hold your earth as important in our own decisions. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our own community here in Karori. We lift up those amongst us that are carrying heavy burdens, burdens of loneliness, depression, isolation, and others. We ask that you would empower our church to reach out to those that live amongst us, that need loving community around them and need the power of Christ. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for ourselves as we gather here and pause from our busy lives to meet with each other and to meet with you. May you continue to open our eyes and help us become less centered on our own needs and our own wants, but to always look outwards and engage more deeply with one another. And through each other, may we encounter the radical love of Christ more deeply within our own hearts. Lord, in your mercy. And finally, we pray for the Wheelers. We thank you for their courage to accept your call on their lives and to step forward in faith. We bless them in their next chapter. May you continue to go before them and lay down groundwork and foundations for their mission in Papua New Guinea. May you help us as Karori Anglican to best support them. Lord, in your mercy. Amen.
Thanks, Zach, and thanks, Scott and Nikki and the kids for speaking to us. That's really exciting what you guys are doing and hearing about how you're going to be bringing God's kingdom to Papua New Guinea. It reminds me too of in the 80s, we had, in the 70s and 80s, New Zealand sent out so many missionaries.